Blog Talk Radio.
All righty. We're in. You go take it from here.
All right. Thank you so much, Willie. All right. Hello, everyone. This is Sylvia Nichols calling. The show is The Phenomenal Woman. As we move into this show today, it's important for me to remind you, you are a woman. If you are, you are phenomenal, no matter who you are and where you are phenomenal. And I'm going to share something today to help you to think about where you are in terms of being or becoming a phenomenal woman. That we're looking at today is Genesis 2:18 first, and then 20b to 23. I will start. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And I'm reading from the NIV version of this. B. 20b is, "So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.'" God's word for us today. I will now pray. Just loving God, thank you so much for the opportunity to share with others the many blessings that are shared with phenomenal women and women who are realizing they are phenomenal. Help us to know that you have made a special something woman, and that we are to glorify you. Help us in our endeavors as we go along, dear Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Well, today is an exciting day. I hope it is for you. Just to be alive today is exciting. What has happened recently? I was reading in a journal that I had written in 2004, 20 years ago. And it was where I was in my life, not too happy with my life. And I had been looking at the kind of life I had been living. And to me, it was not a pretty picture. Chaos and all in my life or in my presence. And I was not doing things I love to do. I was trying to make my environment more pleasant. Excuse me a minute. Something's... All right. I hope you can hear me now. And I was wondering what had happened. And I thought to myself, I must not value my time. And I said to myself in writing this, time is very important. We don't know how long we have. And at that time, I did not know whether I would, say, live to be out of my 60s, because that was over 20 years ago. But I realized that I should not sell myself short. I thank God through the Holy Spirit for providing me direction for this phase of my life. That is what I said then. Many times we get at a place in life where we might not think we're doing what God or what we need to do, what God wants us to do or what we need to do. I knew early on in my life that God had a plan for my life and that I had to spend time with him to find out what that plan was. But at that particular time in my life, there was more chaos there than direction because I had allowed myself to get caught up in many down things that would not help me, not being as close to the Lord as and to God as I should have, or should, as I wanted to be. And I was having trouble finding that place. But the answer was to pray, to ask God for direction. Only he could give me that. And I look at 20-something years later, and oh, how much I have learned and seen since that time. I knew that God was leading me and directing my life in such a way that I knew that things would be better, and they were better. Today, I want to share something about a phenomenal woman I met a week or so ago. I was on a trip with my daughter to London, and we had some stops to make in London that she wanted to do. And one was with this lady who was her jeweler. She made a ring for her a few years back. And it was amazing to me that about how she became a jeweler. She's an African-American woman who was born in Bermuda. And she was not that old either, but she was an outstanding jeweler. And what was amazing to me was, and I'll talk about this a little later, is that she had come from being a little girl who loved the bangles on her grandmother's arms, that her grandmama had bangles around her wrist. And she eventually gave her one to wear. And along the way, she was never, she said, a good math student. And with me being a retired math teacher, I always ask that question, how does math influence your life? And she said, well, when I was taking math classes, I did not think that math was one of those things that I could do and that it was something I just didn't get into that much. But at being a jeweler, she found that math is a quality, something, it's a studied that she had to do more of in order to create, design, and make jewelry. And I said, oh, I try to tell my students that the more math they learn, the more they will be successful in any job that they will do. So you found that out. That's what I said to her. And she said, yes, I did. And she showed me some drawings, some geometric drawings that she has to do in order to create different rings and earrings and necklaces. And I said, this is really interesting. I never thought that a jeweler would have to do all of this. So this is something I would love to share with others. She showed me the drawings and she said, I learned to do this. I learned these triangles and the triangles that fit in certain places and the angles that it would take to make it complete. And it's just opened up another world for me. She also said that she didn't go to school to become a jeweler right off. She went for a kind of, I didn't write that down, the area that she majored in. And I think it was social work. I'm almost certain it was social work. And then it was, she did a summer job at a jewelry making place. And she got interest. As a result, she was led to go to school to learn jewelry making. She said it was sort of difficult to get into school because being an African-American person and a woman, that it was a male, predominantly male profession. She later became encouraged with some other ladies who had been in jewelry making for a few years and go to jewelry school, fine jewelry making training. And as a result, she's now showing her jewelry all over the world. She is treated with great respect for her skill in jewelry making. My daughter had ordered this ring, had her make a ring for her a few years ago, and I thought I would never meet her. I just knew that was her jewelry. But anyway, experience meeting her because she knew her trade so well. We went to her studio, and it was just amazing the jewelry she showed us, either in picture or the real thing in some cases. But the point that I want to make about meeting her, who I think is a very phenomenal woman, she loves what she does. She loves what she does. And I think that's the key to being a phenomenal person, and especially a phenomenal woman, is that comes when you love what you do. When you don't care whether you care, but you don't dwell on the amount of money you make, what you have to do to create what you do, how many hours you have to spend doing it, and the outcome, you have brought out that which God has given you. And you're able to show that gift, the talent that it goes with it, as well as show the love that you have for sharing that gift with others. And how many of us, and how 20 years ago, I was reluctant to even think about knowing what it would take for me to get past where I was. And when I did, I realized that there are so many phenomenal women in this world. And you, with your talents, others with their talents, and they're sharing them in the way that this young lady is sharing her talents for jewelry making. It makes you phenomenal. Now, we know Maya Angelou, Maya Angelou really talked a lot about phenomenal women. And there was a few things I saw in one of her books that I wanted to share. And one statement was this: we cannot waste time bemoaning our state. We must pick up and know that there is a place that we need to be, and that is sharing that which we love to do with others at home. Where all virtues and vices begin. Not just the place we're settling in to live. I mean, that which is harbored within yourself, within your heart. A tree with a simple root structure won't survive a strong wind. But a tree whose roots go deep into the soil and is firmly anchored stands a far better chance. So it is with us, by anchoring ourselves in a spirituality which we set out in a purposeful, deliberate way to discover. And once we discover it, find it, and we cherish it, we are free to spread it and share it with our beloved, our family and friends, and even people who aren't in our immediate circle. This is when we are at our best. You know, in this world we're living in today, we see our young boys and girls far from a place that many of us were when we were young growing up. We were taught discipline, and we were directed to our churches, our families, and our schools. Today, many of our boys and girls are not directed with anyone. They are children who have not experienced being directed. They direct themselves. Prayers that we as adults in this world, in this time, if we want to have phenomenal boys and girls, and women especially, we have to make an effort to make sure that our young people are directed in our homes, our schools, and our religious houses. Not for religion, but for spirituality, to be spirit learn to connect with the Spirit, who is God, so that they can accomplish many things to be able to become phenomenal for themselves and others. It's not emphasized enough these days, and it seems as if many of our institutions, churches, and homes have other priorities. And here in America, making that dollar. The dollar is more important than love. It's more important than sharing. It's more important than just living. It's just a priority that's behind. And when that happens, we get further and further away, and we cannot accomplish those things that are needed for this world to make it better. I agree that we must pray in a focused way so that these things that we see in our children, in our communities, in our churches, and in our world, we can share something to make changes happen. By the way, the lady who I talked about earlier, the phenomenal lady who was the jeweler, she does groups of children and teaches them about jewelry making in Bermuda and in London and in Asheville, North Carolina, even where she goes at least twice a year. She is sharing her skills so that others can come behind her. We, the phenomenal women that I know are out there, we have to share our skills and our blessings that God has given us with others too. And as I listen to women on this blog and other blogs on Talking Drums, there are some talented women in our world. We need to share those talents. And I know I maybe shouldn't be talking about that, but there's a lady that I listen to from time to time called Lucy Berry with her poetry. And I am so impressed with her that I just think she is a phenomenal woman. I've shared that with Apostle Armstrong, that this woman is really outstanding and phenomenal. And I do hope to meet her one day. And there's also some other ladies that are on different shows that I enjoy listening to. Apostle Strong, I know that name. I listen to her share prayers for others and for this world. And it's just so many phenomenal women in this world. I'm going to open it up to you if there are any listeners out there who wish to share or ask questions, or either men who might have questions or want to share something or not. Just let me know. I'm waiting to hear from you. I want to share this again. Here's somebody. I'm waiting to hear you talk. Oh,
I have arrived. That was a good program. It gives us something, us men, something to think about, because the world has been set up for men anyway. And it is good to hear someone who is elevating the women, especially the second part of the title of the program, Women Cry, Give Life. And I remember Bob Marley's song with that in it. And I never thought about it before, but all that you have talked about thus far has been women giving life. We men don't give life. We men are to protect and to provide. And, you know, it's time for women to be lifted up and receive their reward before they transition out of here.
I agree.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for being.
Well, so many phenomenal women have been in my life that I think I could share, and I appreciate this opportunity to share about phenomenal women, because it makes me be able to give to the universe those things that were shared to me by phenomenal women. Growing up in the South, do you have any more comments?
No, not at this time.
Okay. There was a lady who was the first African-American woman to be over a recreation center. Really, to create the recreation center for black children. And it was near our schools in our communities, which seems so long ago, when there were communities that consisted of not just houses, consisted of homes, churches, and schools. And they were all connected in different ways. You know, the principal knew what was going on in the church, all the churches, not just his church, the church he attended, but the churches in that community and in that city. And the homes, the people connected to each other and helped each other, you know, and took care of the community. And looking back, it was just, people don't know today, if they haven't lived as long as I and some other people, how that worked. It was really a real community. And we know that some of our communities have been broken up simply because they were good and nobody wanted them to flourish like they were flourishing. At least not nobody, somebody. I'll put it that way. But anyway, that was this lady who was made the director of a recreation center. And we would go there after school, and in that recreation center, there was a library. We could not attend the public library, but they made a branch in that recreation center where we could check out books. And also, we could learn different skills. Some girls learned to crochet. Some learned to cook. Not cook, I'm sorry. Sew. That's what I was trying to do. They learned to sew, and a few learned to knit. And then we always had a little time to dance, there was a jukebox that she would let it play different songs. We didn't have to put money in it, and we could dance. And I never forget when Chubby Checker and the Twist came out, and everybody learned how to do the twist. But what I want to say about this woman, paid that much, but she was over two other people. There was a man that worked with the boys. They had a pool room where they could learn. They played pool. And there was a lady who learned, who taught kids how to speak and to dress and to walk and to just become more ladylike, I put it that way. And this went on for like, time school was out to maybe 4:30. Because back then you didn't stay away from home too late in the evenings. You were in early before the sun went down. And you had your chores to do too, so you had to get home. But that lady, as I look back on it, she worked at making that center the best center, recreation center, probably in the town, because she made sure everybody was had something to do and was given opportunity to do it there. She had two or three people there, and do you know, she was never honored for what she did. And I mean honored, and I said in a way that you don't have to be honored to be a phenomenal woman, but people below her, I mean, not below her, but people she hired got awards for doing what they were paid to do, along with they didn't do any more than what they were paid to do. And she reached out and made sure opportunities were available. The person, the lady who was over the recreation center, made sure we participated in Christmas parades. When girls who learn to take care of other people, they call them, I forgot the term that was used for them. But anyway, she put us in places to learn different skills, demonstrate what we were learning there, and so that it would be exposed to the community as well as help us to grow. And I think as I look around the town today, and I see signs of this person is honored, that person is honored. But phenomenal women who've made it possible for those who are getting all these honors in these communities, she made it possible for them to be able to achieve. Even made it possible for the mayor, first African-American mayor of the town, to learn skills to be able to become that eventually. And she was never given credit for the part that she did in making these people outstanding as far as the community was concerned. So I said it because we need to look at our worlds and talk to those phenomenal people, people who we know are making a difference but are not out there looking for awards or being the top person here, there, but people who are doing for others because they love to do it. And that is the key. You can never be great at anything unless you love it. And that's what we need to remember. We need to remember to love what we do and share it with others. not just for money, but for the good that it will do for others. I'm about to sign off now. If there's someone else on at this time and you have a question or you wish to share, may I hear from you? All right. If not, I want to share one more thing that is mentioned in this book about Maya Angelou. Our ability to have and to live on faith brought us through conditions more horrific than we can ever imagine, can even imagine. Whenever the power, I think of our people in their chains and having no names, not being able to move one inch without the license of someone who purposely owned them. It makes me be grateful for them, because without them, we would not be where we are today. We should not just want to survive, but to thrive, and to do it with passion and some compassion, some humor, and with style. And without God, we can do none of these. As I close out with prayer, dear God, you have brought me from 20 years ago to this point in my life, and I've seen your grace to me make me better than what I was 20 years ago. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for helping me to know that you are the creator of all of us, and that within all of us, and that within me, you have that which is, can make us phenomenal, be it that we don't think so, but it's there. And I ask you, Lord, to help us to look within us and feel your spirit that is working to make us the best that we can be, because it's there. You have given it to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And thank you, whoever's listening. See you next week. Bye-bye.
So long. So long.